The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias and was tetrarch of Abilene during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of the Lord. One too many things up here at the Ambo. Sorry about my mess. I went to college at Baylor University, and one of the only reasons I mentioned that is because yesterday they became the Big 12 champions, so sick and bears, so I just mentioned that. But there's actually a deeper reason why I mentioned it. I had an amazing professor while I was there at Baylor, and he was amazing for a couple of reasons. One reason, because he gave time to his students. He was really there for us. And also, he had this amazing ability to see when he was like really losing the crowd. And then he would interject some really funny story that would draw us all back in. And I always remember that about him. But there's something even more profound that he did there. But first, when I thought about him, I always think of this one story. He told us one time, we were like really drifting off, and it was a very boring topic. And he started telling us, all of a sudden, he just is this like, so my neighbor has this dog, and the dog, and we were all like, what? You know, where did this dog come from? And so he's just like, and so, you know those Pillsbury crescent rolls, the kinds that, you know, like kind of expand? So they put all the crescent rolls on like the cookie sheet or the baking sheet, and then, you know, put them on the tray, and then they went and turned around like to do something else, and then turned back around, and every single piece of dough was gone off of the tray. In like 3 seconds, the dog ate every single piece. But this is like the expanding dough, and it's not like cooked yet. So the dog was just like super bloated and like walking around all weird. And then it would just kind of be like, blah. And then these little piles would just expand on the floor. And I remember that's the story he told us to get us back into the game and stuff. So just to start with a nice fun story from the holidays, right? But the thing that he did that was amazing is I'll never forget he said this one time. He said, there was a point in my life where I drew more brothers away from Christ than I brought toward him. And I knew that that needed to change. He was in a fraternity. He went to A&M. And he said that there was just a time, you know, with parties and doing different things, that he was a worse influence on people, that he brought many brothers away instead of bringing them towards Christ. And he knew that something had to change. That's sort of like the character of St. John the Baptist, the idea of making the way straight for somebody. The way that we do that is we do it by example in our life. We really truly do that by a heroic example, something like a voice crying out in the wilderness. Now, recently I'd been reading a book. I grew up playing golf, mostly because my dad loves it. My dad plays golf all throughout my life, and so I grew up sort of playing. And I started to read a book called Tommy's Honor recently. And Tommy's Honor is interesting about, it's about two of the earliest golfers of notoriety in St. Andrews, really where golf was kind of born. And so it's this guy, Tom Morris Sr., and then his son, Tommy Morris. And one of the amazing things about Tom Morris was he was the actual greenskeeper So he actually envisioned many of the holes, and he did the landscaping and the sand traps and the greens and all of these different things. And one of the things I remember that was kind of interesting, that he accidentally figured out how to make greens grow. One day he was walking with a wheelbarrow of sand, and he dropped it, and it spilled all over the green. And then he kind of cleaned things up, and then he noticed later on that all these little sproutlings came up from the sand. And they still do this to this day on greens. You know, you spread the sand on there, and it encourages the growth of the sprouts of grass. So I was just like, what a happy accident that was. But he literally was making the way, and his son watched him do this his whole life. He played golf, he was a championship golfer, and then his son followed in his stead. And then, as often is the case, his son got a lot better than his father and eventually started to defeat his father in that. But the amazing thing was, if it wasn't for his father showing him the way, if it wasn't teaching him and also having the humility to allow his son to be better than him, then, you know, that never would have really happened if he wasn't willing to blaze that trail to kind of create a path. This is amazing the way that this is written here today. When you read, if I find it here, oh gosh, it's never when you need it, is it? Oh yeah, here we go. Okay, yeah, like this part where he's quoting Isaiah, so we hear that first reading. But make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. It's just like everything, every obstacle is going to be cleared out of the way for this task. And that's what it is to receive something. Often to receive something, we actually have to prepare people to be able to receive it. As we wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to come during Advent, that's what we do for each other. That's what we do when we think about the people who gave us our gift of faith. You know, I think back to Dr. Bowden, my professor, and I think back of the example that he was, in that example that he said, that turning point of his life. He was like, I want to lead people to Christ, not away from Christ. And he was a heroic example of somebody who taught us our field, but then also taught us about Christ with his example. A teacher that was actually able to hold those two things in balance. He was able to be a Christian, and he was able to be a teacher. Those things don't have to be opposed to one another. And he was a great example of what that looked like in my actual life. So that when I saw men like that, when I saw men like my father, I wanted to actually be like them. I was like, maybe I'm capable of doing that, because they kind of tried to lay that groundwork. You know, my mom was the same way. Just her ethic of kind of prayer. But no matter who our parents were in our life, often we don't have that example in our life. But sometimes somebody steps in and shows us the way, gives us a real example in our life, and that we understand what it's really like to follow. But to do that, we have to do that for our younger generations. We have to figure out a way to remove obstacles from their life so that the Lord is actually present to them. I mean, that's far, far easier said than done. But that's exactly what St. Paul did in the second readings when he's talking to the Philippians. So just as that reminder, all of St. Paul's letters, he's writing to these ancient churches that are trying to find their way. And he's giving them all of this encouragement on how to do things. Just listen to the way he's trying to pave the way for his believers. Listen to how he greets them. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. And then this is the clincher. These next words that he says right here. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Those very words that St. Paul uses right there are the same words that are used in the ordination liturgy to the priesthood. After the priest ordains a man, he says to him, let God who has begun the good work in you bring it to completion. And that's the prayer that St. Paul had for all of his people, for all people who believed in Christ. Sometimes the seed is planted somewhere, right? But it's like, but God who's begun that good work in you, it's got to be brought to completion. And that's often done by the people who have shown us the way, who have truly shown us the path in our life of which to follow. If we don't have examples like that, if we're not the example, then how do you know the way to go? You know, we remember when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, you know, Jesus says, where I am going, you know the way. And then Thomas is like, no, wait, Lord, where are you going? We do not know the way. You know, and then what does he say to them? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But we need people who understand that reality so that we can actually make the way clear for others in our life. There's far, far too many obstacles in the world. But all of you, every one of us here, are the ones called to clear them out of the way so that the Lord can actually come to people, so we can spread the gospel. Exactly what St. Paul was trying so hard to do. Found these churches and encourage other people by lifting these obstacles out of their way. And that's an amazing, amazing reality. If you can do that, if you could point to people in your life that have done that for you. Because if we understand that, then I think we understand a lot more, like, okay, somebody did this to me, I need to do it for other people. Because if I didn't have these examples, I would never be where I am today. And so that's our goal for Advent, right? Is to continue to remember what are obstacles that might be standing in our way of Jesus. And just like Lent, Advent is a season where we remember to move things out of our way, things that will separate us from the love of Christ. You know, what's the thing? You know, are we somebody who's like apt to get angry and like lash out at people? We kind of have like a short fuse. I don't know, is it food? Is it alcohol? Is it social media? Who knows? There's so many things now. There's like so many obstacles that it's like, you know, kind of makes your head spin. But if there's something that's taking that attention completely away from Christ, it's got to go. You know, we got to trim that fat from our life as much as we can. I was just talking to our RCIA group, and our topic today was about the Blessed Mother Mary. Oh my gosh, I wouldn't be here without our Blessed Mother. There's just no way. I was telling them the story that there's a priest who wrote the book To Save a Thousand Souls. And in this book, it's a discernment guide for discerning the priesthood. And I didn't know that I would ever meet him in person, but he came here to Portland to give us a retreat one time. And he said this very thing, the very thing that St. John the Baptist emulated. We remember, and we'll hear later on, right? What did he say? Once the Lord came to us, once he was there, he baptizes him. And what does he say? He says, I must decrease, and he must increase. And Father Brannan told us this in this retreat, and it's the same for all of us. He said, brothers, lead people to Christ, and then get out of the way. Those are profound words, right? We want to lead people to Christ, but we don't want to be their obstacle. You know, when we think about being a good evangelist like St. Paul was, you know, there's some techniques that are proven to not work well. One of them is nagging. Nagging doesn't really work well, right? You know, like what we try doesn't usually, you know, work successfully. But often living our faith and people seeing that is a huge, huge example in life. And when I heard Father Brannan say that, I was like, man, that's like St. John the Baptist to a key. He must increase and I must decrease. And if we can do that, you know, we've got to look at which ways things are standing between us and Christ. And I think if we can do it, if we can even do it a small way, we're more prepared to receive him when he comes at Christmas time. And then, subsequently, Advent's not just about the Lord coming to this earth at Christmas. It's about his second coming, when he's going to come again to all of humanity, when all obstacles really do need to be removed in our life. So wherever that turning point is, like that one that my professor had, or that one that you had. Those of us that have made that decision and that had turned that corner, it's time for us to continue to pass that on to other people so we can make their way straight. And the only way that that road leads is straight to our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're folks that other people see that in us, then we're doing exactly what he calls us to do, to truly bring his son to other people. Father Brandon also mentioned to us that he said he was in vocations for a very long time before he wrote that book. He never met one man that had a vocation to the priesthood that did not have a relationship with our Blessed Mother Mary. Thousands of vocations, and not one man that didn't say, "Our Blessed Mother was a part of my vocation." If we are friends with Jesus Christ, we should be friends with his mother because she always points the way to Jesus. So this is that time that we get closer to the Holy Family. We prepare for Jesus' coming, and we try to prepare the way for all those we love to receive him as well. God bless you all.